We cut our teeth in ministry with the Navigators on college campuses all around the western part of the United States. And then about 15 years ago, Gina and I left the collegiate side of the Navigators, and we went and worked in our military side. And for the last 6 years, I've overseen what we've been doing in our disciple-making ministry around the world in the military, Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines. And in the middle of that time, we started a ministry as small as it was to first responders, fire, police, law enforcement, EMTs. And so this last summer, I handed the baton of leadership and ministry to a retired Navy commander, Terry Wickard, a very good friend of mine. I brought him onto my National Navigator leadership team, and he oversaw all that we did in the Marines and the Navy. And when it was time for me to leave, God confirmed that Terry was going to bring leadership to continue to bring leadership to the military work of the NAVS. And in that time, the Navigators, our leadership asked us to do many different things, but the most compelling thing that was on my heart was an opportunity for us to go and build up what God's been doing for the last 6 years in our first responder work. And so from November 1st, actually, going forward, that's what I'll be doing. I'm going to share some stories as we go. But I also want to just talk about, I think the theme in our message today is all hands on deck. And the passage that was read this morning was Matthew 9. We're going to start a little bit earlier in the book of Matthew. If you guys want to turn to Matthew chapter 4, I want to look at some things that Jesus said right at the very beginning of his ministry to those who are following him. But you know, Gina and I got married here 32 years ago. 4 months ago, our daughter got married in a pandemic environment in Colorado. It was an amazing situation. 11 days before the wedding, we didn't know where the wedding was going to be. So imagine that. So we ended up having the wedding at the Glen Eyrie Castle, which is where the Navigator headquarters is. It was kind of an epic open door that God did. But at the end of the wedding, there was this urgent all-hands-on-deck experience that some of us at the wedding had. I don't know if Gina knew about it at the time, but I even think Carl, who was at the wedding, and Frank, who was at the wedding, experienced this. My daughter is married to Stephen. Great day. The photos are done. They get ready. You know, Stephen's looking for his getaway car, you know, to take his bride off to start their honeymoon, and his car's dead in the water. It won't start. And so I didn't know this. I see the groomsmen and Stephen talking, and there's a bit of a buzz. So I come up, what's going on? You go, the car won't start, and we got to go. And so we're trying to figure out. We get myself, I think Carl, and I think Frank, and my sons, and all the groomsmen, and all the guys that would be mechanics were out there trying to figure out how to get Stephen's chariot alive. And it was kind of a fun deal. He obviously ended up getting the car started, and we got him out on the road. But when I was thinking about this all hands on deck thing, there was about 15 minutes at the end of Hannah's wedding where it's like, we've got to figure out a way to get this car going, or Stephen and Hannah are going to be missing out. So we're living in unprecedented times. We know that. This last year has been remarkable. Well, as I've been reading through the book of Matthew for the last 3 or 4 months, and that's when I want to share some of that with you, it's really clear to me that God's global vision and his purposes have always been an all-hands-on-deck environment. You guys are in a situation here at Hood Canal where you're trusting God for a new pastor, if I understand right, right? And I was talking to Randy a month or two ago before, as we're making the plans for me to come and visit. And one of the things that we were dialoguing about is, in the absence of a full-time pastor up here, would that stir up amongst the congregation here at Hood Canal kind of a sense of an all-hands-on-deck, we're going to make this thing work. And I hope that's happening, and I hope that some of the words that I share from the book of Matthew helps stimulate and stir you towards this idea that God wants all of his followers involved in the harvest field. It's not just for the select few. So when I think about what Jesus called his followers to in Matthew chapter 4, if you guys turn to that, Jesus is just beginning his earthly ministry. He comes up to some fishermen, and as I've studied this in the past, and I trust that you who have too, realize this isn't the first time that these fishermen had encountered Jesus. He had been around. He'd been relating. But in Matthew chapter 4, he says something pretty important, pretty simple, but it's pretty compelling. And it's not just for a bunch of fishermen in Israel 2,000 years ago. So look at that. Real short. And Jesus said to them in verse 19 of chapter 4, and he said to them, this was Peter and Andrew, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Let's think about that just for a minute. These fishermen, that's their livelihood. That was their life. This teacher, this rabbi, it would have been a high calling for someone to say, hey, would you come and follow me back in those days? And Andrew and Peter listened to Jesus and probably had known about him and had experienced some relationship with him prior. But Jesus says something to them, but he also says something to all of us who are followers of him. Come and follow me, and I'm going to make you into something. He called them to himself, and he gave them a kind of a vision right from the beginning. You follow me, I'm going to develop you and make you into world changers. Now, he doesn't say it there. He says, I'm going to make you into fishers of men. But it started this idea that God wants, as we follow him, he wants to take us somewhere. We're his plan. We're his plan A, in fact. It's a powerful opportunity that we have to be a part of the Great Commission. And I just want to point out, at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, he said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So as you sit there today, do you imagine yourself, do you know what that looks like and feels like in your everyday life? I'm going to fish for men. It's an invitation. It's personal. It's an invitation that's compelling. It's an invitation for everybody. Now, at the beginning, it was just for these young fishermen, and pretty soon it started to grow and expand. And let's, if you guys go to slide, I think I've got the keys to the kingdom here, don't I? Let's see. Before we turn to Matthew chapter 9, I got a couple stories that I want to share. So he said to them, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And to connect a little bit with some things that we're doing in our first responder ministry, Chad Kaiser, he's there in the center. He's a Portland detective. He's a SWAT team member. And I met him about 4 years ago. And the guy on the right is Chris Green. He's our national director. He's the guy I've been training for the last 4 or 5 years as he's been leading the first responder work. And Chris led Chad to Christ. And this whole idea of following Jesus as a police officer, it becomes real clear right away that if you're going to step out and follow Jesus, you're going to have to take things pretty seriously. And Chris, and some of my involvement with Chad was, Chad, God's calling you to follow him. What's it look like for you to be fishers of men and as a police officer, as a SWAT member? Well, here's a cool story. A couple years ago, Chad is taking a guy that he picked up, arrested him. He's taking him to jail, and he's got a captive audience with him for the next 20 minutes. And this is not the only way that first responders are doing ministry of making disciples with criminals, but it's really among the other officers that they're with. But here's this young broken man in the back seat, belligerent, argumentative, handcuffed. Chad's taking him to the police station for booking. And Chad shares the gospel of Jesus Christ with him, shares his story that 2 years prior that he didn't know who Jesus Christ was, but because of somebody, this Chris, shared the hope of Jesus Christ with him. Within 6 months, he gave his life to Christ. And so he's a year and a half old follower of Jesus. And as a police officer, he's sharing the gospel with this young guy that he's got in the back seat. Drops him off at booking. 7 months later have passed, and Chad's at church on Sunday morning. and he's with his family up in the front. And I don't, how many first responder police officers we have in the room today? Anybody? Most police officers, they want to have their backs to the backs to the back wall, and they want to have their eyes on the on every door opening. So here's Chad sitting at his church, and he's looking at the people coming in like he normally would. One of the guys that walks in, the guy that he arrested 7 months before. So now you have to ask the question, was Chad elated or was he scared? Well, at first, as a police officer, it's like, why is this guy at my church on Sunday morning? It's not uncommon for criminals to get out and go look after and find the people that put them behind bars. That was the first thought that Chad had. So he calmly just told his wife and kids he'll be right back. He walked to the front, and he engaged this guy. And he didn't know what was going to happen. But this guy had this big, gigantic smile on his face, and a little tear started to come down. He goes, do you remember me? And Chad goes, oh, yeah, I do. That's why I'm here right now. And this young guy said, I remembered those words that you shared with me in the back of the squad car, and I want you to know I've laid my life down for Jesus. And I'm here today. I need somebody to help me. Would you help me? So Chad's been following up and helping this young guy walk deeply with Jesus. Powerful story of a young guy that said, I want to follow you, Jesus. Will you make me a fisher of men? So my appeal to you, when I think about this all hands on deck, do you believe that God wants to have you be fishers of men in the world around you? Doesn't matter how young you are. I'm really encouraged that there's some young men here. It doesn't matter how old you are. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So let's go to the next slide. Matthew 9, 37. Thank you for having that read prior. I want to just focus on the last two verses before we look at the first two verses of those. And he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers or laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. The need was significant then. And I'm not going to stand up here as somebody who's worked in the military work for the last 15 years and now jumping into the first responder work and say that there's no time like now in the history of mankind for the gospel advance. I'm not going to say that. There's always been time for the need of the gospel to go. Today's just as significant as any other time, but right now, there's open opportunities, and I hope that you guys have been experiencing that here. I've been experiencing that all over the country as I've been networking with police agencies. Firefighters, police officers all over the country are raising their hand either to have somebody help them understand the good news of the gospel, but more often than not, it's actually police officers who know Christ. They're saying, would you come and help train us so we can take the gospel to our fellow coworkers? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I think one thing that's really important to look at in this verse right here, Jesus himself looked at the harvest field and he said that it's plentiful, but the workers are few. There was a significant need. And if you guys have studied through the gospel, you see over and over and over again, Jesus healing the sick, Jesus healing and casting out demons. He was always, the need was significant, and he's God in human form. And he's got his disciples following him. So do you guys see this harvest field? It's overwhelming. At that point, the God of the universe in human form could have healed every need that was out there in the blink of an eye in one word. Do you guys realize that? You know that. If Jesus is who he says he is, he could have healed them all right then and there. Why didn't he? He's appealing to his followers to take on this great privilege of themselves being the bearers of good news. He's training his disciples, and here we are 2,000 years later, have the great privilege of continuing to do that. The harvest was plentiful then, the workers were few then. Here we are 2,000 years later, and there's still a need all around us. I don't think everybody in the Hoodsport, Mason County area has come to Christ in the last 6 months, right? There's a need for the gospel to change people's lives. And so when I see Jesus asking his followers and asking us to be workers in his kingdom, it's because he's entrusted to each one of us something pretty significant, pretty compelling. Jesus himself could have saved all of mankind. He did on the cross. He died for all of our sins, but he's entrusted the ministry of reconciliation to each one of us. What a great privilege. Let's go to the next slide. Let me get that. Right here. I'm sorry. This guy, Tony Colias, he's a SWAT team commander in Portland. And one of the reasons I want to share this with you is that he also came to Christ from Chris Green a few years ago. And he's kind of like an Apostle Paul. He doesn't really care to hide his faith. In fact, he's so transformed by what the gospel did before he was Christ, he's kind of obnoxious. He's being tempered in that over the last 3 or 4 years. I think he's been a believer now for 5. But he's like the Apostle Paul. He's a, like I said, SWAT team commander. You know what he mandates all the guys in the SWAT team to do once a week with him? Be in Bible study. In the military work that I've been in, you can't do that. You can't abuse your chain of command and force those underneath you to come. It'd be a breach. But he says, if you want to be on the SWAT team, you got to be in Bible study with me. And so he has been doing this for years now, taking them through the Gospel of John, and people are coming to Christ. In fact, Chad, that other guy, was one of those guys that started following along with this too, and he's starting to lead guys, as I mentioned. And so, he's a police officer, pure and pure. When he retires in 3 years, he says he's going to come on staff full-time with the NAVs and do what we're doing full-time. He's traveling up to Seattle to be a part of the police units up there. But here's a guy who's been transformed by the power of the gospel that recognizes that the harvest field is plentiful, and he gets to be one of those workers in it. If you look at that next slide, one thing that's been really cool that's happened just in the last couple months is we've had a connection with the New York City Police Department, and they've asked us to set up a prayer line. It's unprecedented. It's never happened before with a civilian group like the Navigators. And so Chris, there, is on your left. We were there, and there's a New York City police officer in uniform, and then the other African-American guy is a U.S. Marshal that's being discipled by us, and there's myself. And this prayer line's going to go live next week. And it's going to be open to all 55,000 New York City police officers and administrative staff. And it's been an undertaking of incredible effort to build this thing. There's going to be a prayer line that's going to go in the inbox of every New York City police officer's mail next Thursday, I think, November 12th. And then it's going to go live for the next year. And we've got Navigator staff around the country and in New York City are going to be manning the calls. And we're not quite sure what they expect, 55,000 people to call in to have prayer. I don't know if we're going to get 20 people calling or 2,000. So it's going to be a remarkable opportunity. So if you guys will pray for us on that. Okay. Next slide. So we looked at Matthew 4, God's calling us to be fishers of men. Matthew 9. The harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. If you go to Matthew chapter 28, the consistent theme is clear. Jesus' followers at this point in his life are disillusioned, discouraged, confused, frustrated. They really thought Jesus would have set up an earthly kingdom of sorts. He died. They scattered. They rose again, and Jesus told the followers to go up on a mountain, and I got something to say to you. And you guys are familiar with this. I know that. Some of this is, this is good, solid stuff right out of the scripture. I just want to remind all of us that the Great Commission wasn't given just to 12 ordinary unschooled men 2,000 years ago. The Great Commission was given to each one of us. Let me read it to you. Matthew 28, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now again, I know this is not unfamiliar to you folks, but I'm hoping and I've prayed that today maybe, or maybe in the last several months, God's been stirring in your hearts that each one of you could be fishers of men, laborers in the harvest, and makers of disciples. Each one of us have the opportunity, because we've got the Holy Spirit in us, we've got the Word of God, we've got the opportunity. It's changed lives that we have that are bringing hope to those who don't have Christ. Each one of you guys. And I hope that is something that's continuing to happen here. I know that the previous pastor, Keith, had that on his heart, and he's instilled that into you. Go to that next slide. This last one I'll share with you. Jake, does anybody hear anything about Shield 616? I kind of wonder if it's gotten out to the Northwest. 616. The gentleman on the left, I sat down with him a couple years ago, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but 4 or 5 years ago, there was a shooting at a Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs, killed several people. He was the front guy as a police officer that went into the building to neutralize the situation. And when I sat down with him, he told me these just significant details about what that was like. So that was a fascinating story. I was just getting into the first responder world. But Jake retired from the police force 6 months later, and he started a ministry called 616. And it's to give police officers heavy equipment, shields, physical shields, helmets, to keep them alive and safe when they're out on the beat. But they've talked to me, Jake and I have been in conversation about how we can bring discipleship through his ministry into the police departments that they're taking their ministry to. So that's an opportunity I have locally that I'll continue. And that center guy is a state trooper in Colorado Springs who's just a young believer in Christ. He's trying to figure out what it looks like to read his Bible every day, pray and trust God that he would be a light among darkness. And it's pretty simple that way. I want to encourage you guys with this. One of my life axioms as I close is life and ministry is an overflow of intimacy with Jesus. Let me say that again. Your life and any personal ministry you have and influence is an overflow of something. And Jesus is inviting us not only to be fishers of men, to be workers in the harvest field, and to make disciples. He's inviting us to himself, that we could find deep rivers of living water to sustain us. Life and ministry is an overflow of walking deeply with him every day, all day. Friends, thank you for letting me share this. And there's so much more I could update you on in our ministry with the NAVs, and maybe we could talk in the back. Thank you guys for your prayers for us and your support. We're grateful for that. Can I close us in prayer? Jesus, thank you for your personal engagement with us, your love for us. Thank you that you've called each one of us into this kind of all-hands-on-deck environment where we get to be a part of the Great Commission, each one of us. And I pray, Lord, as the men and women who heard these words, some of them maybe for the first time today, but so many have heard them in the past, I pray as we all walk away and go about the rest of our day and week, that you would stir each one of these men and women to not only walk deeply with you, but that you would give them a personal vision to be fishers of men and laborers in the harvest and makers of disciples, Lord. Thank you for that great privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.